today on Real Radio.
If the wicked can get away with being wicked, they'll stay being wicked. You can try to instruct them. When you've gone too far in coddling them, you tell them the truth, they don't even laugh at it anymore. They can't even hear it. The wicked, listen, don't coddle them. Do you love them? Do you care for them? Then tell them the truth.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now in a message called 31.7 North, 35.2 East, Part 2, continues now in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, God used the prophet Isaiah to speak mainly to his people in Judah and the city of Jerusalem. But God also gave Isaiah visions that were far into the future. That would include the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, also what's going to happen in the last days and the events that will lead to his new kingdom here on earth. In Isaiah chapter 26, we looked into the coming 1,000-year reign, or what's called the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. The title of this message may seem a bit strange, but the latitude and longitude of 31.7 north, 35.2 east, pinpoints the city of Jerusalem on the globe. Now, during his second coming, Jesus will rule and reign from Jerusalem. Now, in part two, we'll continue to see how God will shake up the earth when he comes by moving the city of Jerusalem. So today on day three of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that true passion for the Lord comes from our time alone with him, when we long to see him face to face. But during the Lord's return, there will be those who willfully turn their faces away from God. It's only those who follow Christ that will enter through the gates of Jerusalem. And now, in his lesson called 31.7 North, 35.2 East, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
So I think what he meant to say, well, he said exactly what he meant to say. I think to me in my mind is what he's saying is, the water I give you, I want you to drink from this water. It will completely satisfy you. And until you're in my presence in heaven forever, you're going to need to drink from this fountain only. This fountain is reserved for Jack. And I want it, that's not for me to know, don't say out loud, but do you have your fountain with him? You need to stoke the passion that God has for you. Every one of us. Don't say anything, but would you? And I'm not saying is your walk with God sinless or perfect or this or that. Listen, you can be in the absolute struggle with your walk with God, but you have the true passion to pursue him. And you know, that struggle is sometimes often a great announcement of your passion for God, because you are pursuing him and the flesh life is being stripped away from it. It's being torn away. I like that. In my mind's eye, in my Christian walk and your Christian walk, I hope I see us running toward the Lord. And you know, when you start to run so fast, you'll see like it in cartoons or The Matrix, where you see this, the image just starts to skew because it's going so fast. Whew. And there's just like vapor trail, right? It's the flesh getting pulled away because it can't keep up with the spirit. Listen, tonight, talk about flesh keeping up with the spirit and its inability to do so. Listen, tonight, maybe you're sick tonight. I mean, let's make it bad. Maybe the doctor told you you've got cancer, you've got 4 weeks to live. No. Let's be specific. Your body has cancer. Your soul can't get cancer. Let's be honest here. I'm so sick. No, you're not so sick. You mean your body's dying. Well, what else is there? There's a whole new world. There's a whole new world. The spirit world, the forever world. Listen, when somebody dies, when a believer dies, it's like, oh, well, just remember this. His spirit never had diabetes or never had cancer. The body died. The inside, the part that was born again had to come out. Death is the door, death's the anchor that lets you on the inside out. Those of you who battle with health, you're saying, amen. Amen. Those of you who are healthy in life, you're like, what are you talking about? You're going to know someday. You'll rewind this and you'll listen because we're all dying. You look good, but you're all dying. Human life, those mortals I mentioned earlier in the introduction about living in the millennial kingdom. Zechariah 14, verse 6 tells us that regarding the righteousness of God, remember this now, imagine Christ is enthroned in Jerusalem. He's ruling and reigning the nations of the earth, Jesus. Zechariah 14, 16 says, and it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem, notice the standard, you can, in your margins, you can write in your Bible there, Zechariah 14, 16, Matthew chapter 25, where he separates the sheep from the goats. Those who've come against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come to Jerusalem to worship the King. This is, again, this is in the millennial reign, the thousand-year reign of Christ. So let's say the Jones family says, we're not going to go worship God. Well, it says that the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. If the family of Egypt, he gives us an example, will not come up and enter in, they shall have no rain. They shall receive the plague with which the Lord strikes the nations who do not come up to keep the Feast of the Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that do not come up to keep the Feast of the Tabernacles. Verse 20, in that day, that is a word of the millennium, holiness to the Lord, notice it's in quotes, holiness to the Lord shall be engraved on the bells of the horses. There's going to be horses. So it is cool, right? You like horses? I'm glad you do. There's going to be horses in the millennium running around. Now, look, after this message like this, someone's going to ask me, will my dog be there? I don't know. I don't know. But well, we know there's going to be horses. And if your dog was there, on the dog's leash or on the dog's neck, what do you call it? Collar, it would say, holiness unto the Lord. Did you know there's going to be, Isaiah will tell us later, there'll be pots and pans. And they'll be embossed on them, holiness unto the Lord. How cool is that? You're going to have earrings, holiness unto the Lord. You have a tattoo? Holiness unto the Lord. Think about it. How amazing is that? He's going to be enthroned. And you say, well, I don't know if I like that part. You mean people are going to choose, they're going to like not go worship him? Yeah, it means this. For all that he's given them all year, if they're not thankful, he's going to cut off the juice. If you've never had kids, you think that's terrible. But when you've had kids, it's like, no, it's not. It's not terrible at all. Cut it off. Kids not thankful? No fruit cup for you. Right? I can't believe we're having ice cream again. Who's we? You're not having ice cream anymore. Nothing wrong with that. God says, hey, you don't want to come worship? You don't think there's anything to worship about? No rain for you. Hey, wait a minute. We're in a huge drought in California. No rain for us. We need to pray. All right? Oh, man. Verse 10. Listen to what he says. And this is a big lesson to us. We should never coddle, you know, protect, shelter the wicked. The only time we're tempted to do that is when we personally know the wicked. And then we have a tendency to take our emotions and override theology with our emotion. Well, I know the Bible says, but I feel. Watch out. Listen to verse 10. Let grace be shown to the wicked, yet he will not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness, he will deal unjustly and will not behold. Look, he will not behold the majesty of the Lord. It's going to happen in the millennium, and it happens today. The wicked, listen, don't coddle them. Do you love them? Do you care for them? Then tell them the truth. If you love them, if you care, well, you know what? You know, and it's hard for parents because let's say their kid is wicked. Their kid is doing wickedness. It's hard for a parent. It breaks their heart. They're sick on the inside. But they know what the kid's doing is wrong, and it's an offense to the family, and it's a disgrace to God, and God has said that is wickedness. We get emotionally involved as parents, and we don't want to have to confess, you know, that's my kid. That's why you hear parents say, I know all those other kids were burning down the forest, but not my kid. You know that? No parents are programmed like that. I know those kids were all throwing rocks at that guy over there, but not my kid. Oh, you know what? It was your kid. But it's a parent's response. But listen, if you really love somebody, look, I don't know what era you grew up in or whatever. My dad grew up on a farm, and you don't mess around with people born on farms. Because one time we were playing baseball, and we broke Mr. Wolznick's window. And parents, it was not my boy. And my dad came walking across the street, and my dad said, was it you? To me, he says, was it you? Now, what do you say to that? It was me. I did that. But I got to tell you, man, look, I'm 58 years old. I'm telling you about it right now. And I was 9 years old. I remember it like it was yesterday. Why? My dad said, you're coming with me. Ugh. Walked me right across the street, knocked on Mr. Wolznick's door. And he said, Jack here broke your window, and he's going to fix it. He's sorry. Tell him you're sorry. Sorry. Right? Let me tell you something. I never broke a window again. And I couldn't fix the window, but my dad had me get up on the ladder and watch him fix it. That's good stuff, man. I mean, I grew up in a non-Christian home, but that's wise business. That's good stuff. None of this, well, Mr. Wolznick, my son, I know these other boys, they would have broke the window, but not my boy. No, is it you? We need to remember that. Don't coddle wickedness. The dangerous part is, if the wicked can get away with being wicked, they'll stay being wicked. You can try to instruct them. When you've gone too far in coddling them, you tell them the truth, they don't even laugh at it anymore. They can't even hear it. And that's very scary. They willfully turn their face away from the acknowledgement of God. Verse 11, Lord, when your hand is lifted up, they will not see. Wow. But they will see and be ashamed for their envy of people. Yes, the fire of your enemy shall devour them. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 8 and 9 says, do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man and he will still be wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. You start that young, mom and dad, you start that early. Tell them early. Titus chapter 1 verse 15, we'll end here in a moment. Titus 1 verse 15. And boy, think about our culture today. In fact, these next couple passages, listen to this. To the pure, all things are pure. Listen to the brilliance of this. This is awesome. You know what? What do you want to call this? You want to call this psychology? Psychology only goes so deep. This is beyond that, but let's call it psychology. What brilliant psychology. To the pure, all things are pure. You know what that means? People who are not wicked and corrupt in their heart, they see everything different. If somebody falls off a ladder, they rush over there and see if they're okay to help them, give them water and patch up their knee. The wicked go, oh man, that was funny. Look, the dude's bleeding, hilarious, get a camera. Someone's being raped in Central Park, New York. Get your film, get your camera going. Are you kidding me? Wicked, that's what they do. Proverbs 9:9, give instruction to a wise man. Oh, I read that already. Titus 1:15 goes on to say, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Is that not true? People who are defiled, the most sweetest, wonderful, beautiful thing can be taking place, and they'll have a filthy comment about it. It's like, it's the internet. Or late night, what is the late night shows, the comedy things. They used to be, Johnny Carson, I guess it used to be funny. Whatever they're doing now, it's just the nicest thing. And they make horrific, crude fun of it. And to prove to you that I'm not making this up, there's been actors and actresses and sports icons that have admitted that they're virgins, and that community of wickedness just mocks them into the ground and tweets about their silliness. And you know what I'm talking about? Wow. God says, I'm gonna deal with that someday. Don't you worry. Verse 16, Titus 1:16 says, they profess to know God. That's the saddest part of all. These people are doing all these lewd things, dirty jokes, filthy stuff, porn, internet thing, whatever. Oh, I'm a Christian. Oh man, God's gonna come back and fix all that stuff. He's gonna separate. No, I don't think so. This is serious business, man. You're not a Christian because you say you're one. You're a Christian because you are one, not because you say you're one. I can tell you right now that I'm a, LA Dodger. I'm a Dodger. I could tell myself that so much that I'll begin to think I am. That's called believing your own propaganda. That's repeating the lie until you're sold over to it. Liars do that. They tell a lie so much that it actually becomes a reality to the point where you can put them on a lie detector and they look like they're telling the truth on the lie detector because to them it is true. And it's a complete lie. Pathological liar. There are pathological wicked people. They do it so much that they think it's okay. And now we have a culture today, it's okay to have pedophile activity. It's okay. And now we saw in the news this week, help me, zoophilia. Did you see it on the news? Zoophilia. You don't know what it is? You shouldn't. It was just invented because of... In fact, the article I was reading was as a result of marriage completely dissolving in America and the meaning of it. Zoophilia is a man, there's a man in the United States that is trying to marry a dolphin. Yeah, you laugh. He's not laughing. He wants equal rights. Zoophilia. You think I'm making it up? I can see you reaching for your little truth detectors there. Final passage, Revelation 22:14. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs, not real dogs, sorcerers, sexually immoral. Sexually immoral is the word porneia. Any form of sexual immorality, murderers, idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. Boom. Wow. Makes you want Jesus, right? Jesus can wash all this out of your life and give you a new heart. You think different? He gives you a new heart. He changes your life. The danger for some of you, I don't mean some of you, I'm just saying this as a message is being delivered, not you. You guys are all wonderful here. But the human part of us, we will either say, oh my gosh, I'm busted. The Holy Spirit's just poking his finger right at my heart. I need to do something about this. And you feel like, ah! And then there are those who are like, oh, so what? I'm just gonna do my thing. No one's gonna tell me what to do. I know. Isn't that amazing, the part of you that's deciding that to the right or to the left? We all have the same heart, apparatus, the lungs. Our pancreases and livers are kind of in the same location here. We're all the same. Take our face off. We all look the same, and we're all the same. Well, why are some people saying yes to Jesus, and others are saying no to Jesus, and they've done the same thing? It all comes down to you deciding. What are you going to do with him? We've talked about the millennium, but he wants to reign in your heart now. He's for real. That's why the market is flooded with false religions. You can't have false religions unless you have one real one. Come on. Why don't you decide that tonight? It's up to you. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for who and what you are. Eternal God. Wow. The God that has never been created. Just like that little kid who said, "Who created God?" Well, you're the uncreated God. But you created us. Evidence is overwhelming. We want to be loved. Even in our twistedness, we may want the love of a man or a woman or a friend or a family. And would we ever stop long enough to ask, where did that amazing, amazing desire come from? But from the eternal God. Lord, I pray tonight that any man or woman, boy or girl tonight would say yes to Jesus. That they would just surrender to you now tonight by saying, "Lord, come into my life. I need a change. I need a cataclysmic, catastrophic crisis of my soul to happen that I might be rescued. I need every bit of first responder methods necessary to rip me from the jaws of hell and of perverse thinking and death wishing, to set me free, to put my foot upon the rock, to fill my life and lungs with joy, to literally live a life that is connected to heaven above and to know it. How your word tells us, Lord, that these things have been written unto you that you may know you have eternal life." Wow. Friends, tonight, if that's you, you tell God right where you're at, "I want you, Lord. I'm giving my life to you. Come into my heart, Jesus. I believe you died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead. I call you Lord and Savior tonight. I receive you, Christ." And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called 31.7 North, 35.2 East, Part 2. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. Now, if your wide-eyed wonder about the future is more like a fearful squint, don't worry. God's plan is always for the good to those who love him. 31.7 North, 35.2 East, Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, as we journey through this book of Isaiah, the prophecies he gave to Isaiah will give us a clear insight into the heart of God. Isaiah knew how much God loved him and also how much he loved Israel. He trusted God and he trusted the visions of the future that God was giving him. And you know, God wants to have that kind of relationship with us. Only his love can save us from the sin that separates us from him. So, if you've recently made a decision for salvation through Jesus Christ, or maybe you're ready to open up your heart towards him right now, but you've still got a few questions, well, we'd like to help. Simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You'll see a tab there that says Know God. That's K-N-O-W, God. Now, once you're there, you'll not only find Bible scriptures to support your decision for Christ, but a special video invitation from Pastor Jack about what your commitment really means for your life. There's also a place for you to give us your email address and ask further questions if you'd like. It's all right there when you click that tab called Know God at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us for any reason, you can call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And don't forget, we have other ways to connect with us, such as Facebook, Instagram, and the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. Or you can visit our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click right there on our contact tab. It's real easy, and we'd be happy to get back to you. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.